Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Welcome. Sit back and listen as we take you into mythology, theology, legends, and basic truth. Dragon and Alan Cox, and this is the Welsh Dragon's Den.
Hello, yes, at 22 minutes past the hour, we're finally live on air, and it's not the Welsh Dragon's Den today, because it's me, and it's Craig Eugene, because poor old dragon today, his fire has gone out. He's not smoking the breath out of his nostrils. Unfortunately, he's laid up in bed trying to get well. So we wish him all the best. So hopefully, at the other end of this line is one Craig Eugene. Hi, Craig.
Mr. Cox, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Oh, we've had fun and games, haven't we?
Well, but I knew we'd get there. Just wasn't sure how long it was going to take.
That's right. Now, he's the best, folks, right? Craig said to me, do you want to do a show? And I said, yeah, but I can't talk for an hour by myself. I said, do you want to come on with me? And he said, well, I know nothing about dragons. I said, well, that's all right. I said, we don't have to talk about dragons. So, well, what do we talk about? And I said, I haven't got a clue. I don't know. But we just like hearing the sound of our own voices. So what do you say to that, Craig?
What do I say to that? I find it really hard to believe that you can't do an hour show by yourself.
Well, I can, but I'm just feeling lonely. And I like to have my sparring partner with me every chance I get anyway. just to carry on from Friday's debacle.
There you go. So, Mr. Cox, tell me, what are we going to talk about today?
Right, okay. Well, actually, we've got a subject there straight away. Because when something like that happens, like the server dropping, you can say that it could be human error, but who is saying that the gremlins, the naughty entities, don't get in there to try and stop us from getting on their air? How do you look at that one?
How do I look at it?
How do you feel about that one? Would you say that, you see, when you've got a station like Pararex, which is telling everybody different things about what goes on psychically, spiritually, then the negative forces will not want everybody out there who are hosts and the guests to get on the air to tell them. So they have their part to play in it. Wouldn't you say so?
I would say that anything's possible.
So I never actually... I know you think that I get myself wound up and I say to you off air, you know, what's happening. But I'm not actually. It's just that I want to know what's going on. But because I've come to the conclusion that everything that I try and do, there's always something there to try and stop me.
Taking it kind of personal, aren't you?
Well, I'm not actually personal as such. But I do believe that anybody who does this kind of work, the kind of work you do, I do, that there's always obstacles put in the way to try and stop us from succeeding. They never will stop us, but I do believe that is what they do. I mean, look at all the rubbish that you've been through, Craig, to try and stop you. But you're still here fighting, aren't you?
That is very, very, very true. You know, and I guess the thing that I found is that the more I do this, the more I have to really take care of myself. And I'm not talking about eating properly, proper rest. I'm talking about the protection end of it.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I think we lost Cox.
No, I'm here. I was just thanking Mr. Jones for his help. Thank you, Dave. Been very respectful there, wasn't I?
You are now, proper.
I was going to say, I thought we've lost Craig now. He's...
Well,
thank you, Dave. I appreciate that very much. It's all right. I'll tell you what it is, Dave. Right, I get told off for typing because everybody can hear me typing. So I'm trying not to type. So I'm answering you out of the air. Thank you.
Well, not only that, but I mean, we're slowly finding out that you can't talk and type, drink tea and talk, or any of that stuff at the same time. So it's just it's one thing at a time now. One thing at a time.
Let's get things straight. I don't drink tea. Not very often anyway. Oh dear. I've got some, if you want to know, I've got some blackberry and apple cordial juice. That is what I'm drinking.
So, Mr. Cox, I got a couple questions for you.
Go on then. Yes.
And I guess, you know, the thing is that we walk through our daily life and I guess our daily life is a little bit different than what mine was 14 months ago. So, you know, it seems like as we come into this field and we start to do things to help other people, we get these roadblocks. Some of them are our own spiritual roadblocks, and I think that spiritual growth that we have to go through. But the other thing that I'm slowly learning, you know, if I don't take care of myself, and, you know, I was thinking about this over the weekend, it's kind of like blowing up a balloon. And, you know, that balloon's all big and full of air. But if you make just the smallest little hole in it, it slowly depletes. And
is that a new word?
Depletes?
You said defleets, I thought you said.
Depletes? Okay, Alan, the air goes out of it.
rewriting the dictionary.
You know, so...
I know there's differences between American English and English English, but now there's Craig Eugene American English. So when does he come into print, this new dictionary of yours?
Oh, I'm working on it right now.
That's right.
You know, live on the air, here we go.
So, look, I'm sorry, I always send things into Mayhem, I know that, but quite seriously, what you've just said, going back to the serious side of it, I totally accept what you're saying, and Anne really nags at me about it, and she's got every right to, because I got to a point where I just couldn't relax, and it was like I was on edge all the time. And having to be there for everybody. And this Easter weekend, I mean, our holidays over here, I know they're different to where they are in the US. Over here, basically everything shuts down on Friday, and it's a bank holiday today. Most people aren't at work today. And I was determined to get at least a couple of days rest. And to the best in parts of it, I have managed that. But you still get people, when you tell them that you're going to have a break, and they still send you texts and emails. And they say, oh, you don't have to bother to answer me until Tuesday. But they're there, and I think to myself, okay, they're just there. And Anne says, well, you've already told these, you know, these particular people that you're not going to be about. So why can't I wait until Tuesday to get in touch with you? Because you're not going to answer them until Tuesday. Right. And it's like a bit of harassment. So how do you look at that?
I don't know how to look at it, to be real honest with you, because, I mean, I can remember a time back when I didn't have a voice. I mean, I was nothing but a squeak. And, you know, I would answer my phone and people would be like, you know, I want you to do a reading for me. I'm like, you know, I don't think so. They're like, why not? I'm not feeling well. You can't do a reading for me? I'm like, no. Like, my God, you know, I'm on my deathbed here. Leave me alone. But, yeah, I think, but you know what, Alan? And not to take anything away from anybody, I think we all hit that point in our life when, you know, the bottom falls out of things. And it feels like, you know, we dig and dig and dig and try to find our way back to the top. And we just can't get there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're at, I always say we're lower than whale doo-doo. And, you know, there's people are just looking for some answers and for some help. But sometimes we have to bow out of it. We can't always be there.
That's true. I mean, you know, it's a very difficult line to tread, really, because we need, we do our work full time. It is our life. We haven't got another income from anywhere else. So we need clients. We need people to help. And that's why we do it, to help people. And if people didn't phone up or email or text or whatever and want your help, we'd be saying, oh, crikey, you know, I can't survive. I need people to get in touch. And I've been through that.
Right.
And then when you get people who get in touch, but they get in touch at a time that they need the help, but it's not right for yourself because you might be drained or you see, people, I suppose, I try to understand, perhaps people feel more vulnerable at 9, 10 or 11 o'clock at night than they do at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And so that's the time that they try and get in touch with you. But how can you help somebody if you're tired yourself or you're drained? So you've got to try and find this balance where you can help them, but you've got to be able to help yourself as well, haven't you? So that you're ready for people.
Yeah, it's more than a full-time job if you really think about it. And I mean, I guess it's kind of like owning a car. And if you don't take proper care of that car and maintain it properly, you know, the thing becomes a junkyard object and no longer something that you drive, you know, and that's the same with us. I mean, if we don't take care of ourselves, especially in this business, because if you really think about it, and with all the energy that's out there, and that's what we work with is energy.
Yes.
You know as well as I do, there is good and bad in that energy. And sometimes that bad can be pretty close to good if you're looking at it and not looking at it in the right way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does actually, yeah, because, you know, sometimes you get messages from your guides. You get this deep feeling about something. Or you're presented with a situation. And some situations you can't quite work out whether it's right and it's happening for the right reason, or it's a test and it's wrong and you shouldn't. And sometimes it can take you a while to try and understand what's going on. Have you had situations like that?
Definitely.
especially if you come into contact with somebody and you just can't quite work out whether this is the right thing for you to pursue or not. So what do you do then?
What do I do?
Do you ask the guides again? Do you take time over it to try and get the right answer?
Well, I think that's the only thing that you can do, Alan. I mean, you have... And this is no different than being a doctor or anything in life. I mean, if you're not right with yourself, you certainly can't be helping other people. I mean, I wouldn't want to go to a doctor that wasn't sure of himself or a dentist.
Yeah. See, that's what I do actually say that to people. You know, a lot of people think that us, if you want to call us psychics, have all the answers. So there's never a problem. But if you've got a bad tooth and you're a dentist, you just couldn't sit there in the chair and pull your own tooth out, could you?
Definitely not.
Now, I think it might be a good idea if we had a break now. It's no good me saying what we're going to play because I haven't got a clue. That's all down to Mr. Craig Eugene. So shall we have a few minutes break and come back refreshed?
Okay, we'll play something fun.
Okay.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
For a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he's way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man blowing a harmonica and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a harmonica player too. And if you care to take it there, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play a pretty good mouth harp, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a harp of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said,
"My name's Al. Your bet. You're gonna regret, cause I'm the best that's ever been.
Said, "I'll start this show." Fire flew from his fingertips as he puckered up to blow. And he pulled the harp across his lip and it made an evil hiss. Then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden mouth harp on the ground at Alvin's feet. Alvin said,
"Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a gun. I'm the best that's ever been."
Eastern, 7 Pacific, on Para-X Radio, while we take a walk down the dark path of spirit attachments, hosted by Jenny Stewart. There are many that walk among us, and some that want to be
Hello, Craig. You still with me?
Craig Eugene, calling you live from the USA.
That's right. That's good. So, just before we went to break, We was talking about being up for our clients, being there to be able to help them. But I suppose sometimes we just like for a little understanding, I suppose, that sometimes we need a little time to ourselves. And we also need help sometimes from our friends, don't we?
That's very true. And, you know, sometimes it feels kind of weird actually having to reach out to somebody else in this field to help you get through a rough time, but humbly, we do.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, sometimes you have to ask, and as people, like I said before the break, a lot of people think that because you're a psychic, you work with the spirits, you give people answers that's given to you, that so you've got nothing to worry about yourself because you'll have all the answers yourself given to you. And perhaps that is true, perhaps we do, but being human, we don't always recognise that we're being given the answers because we're so busy and used to looking for the answers and asking spirit for other people, that when we're given the answers ourselves, we get it mixed up with our own thoughts and wishes and wants. Would you say that makes sense?
It does. But you know what, Alan? It always seems like when I have an issue or a lesson to learn, and I bypass that or step around it and, you know, pass it off however you want to look at it, it'll start where I will have client after client after client that are going through the same issues. And it's like, funny, you get to the point where it's like, okay, I get it.
Actually, you're right there. Yeah, because you get sent people who are, not always, but in a lot of cases, going through something similar to what you're going through yourself. That's very true. And it's really odd. And sometimes you can be with somebody for a certain amount of time and then suddenly the penny will drop.
Yep.
So, you know, sometimes we talk about spirits a lot, and I know my program on a Friday is called Understanding Spirit, and that wasn't meant as a plug, but the words understanding spirit, I think, are very relevant because we try to, but we don't always, do we?
I don't think so. I mean, I hope that I never get to the point where I'm done learning.
Oh, you're right there. I mean, if you could live to 150, I think you'd still be learning.
You know, it's one of those deals where if that flow's not there, I become dormant. And if I become dormant, I'm no good to anybody, especially myself.
It's, you see, also, do you find that spirit, on a personal level, to say and carry on doing the work, alters different things about yourself? Perhaps seeing things differently, people differently, altering your intake of food, what it is you eat, what it is you drink. And it happens subtly, and you don't realise it's actually going on. And then you look back at yourself and you think, well, hang on a minute, how did I get here to thinking like this or doing this? Have you gone through that?
I went through that a lot. But I've also come to a point, Alan, over the course of the years that, you know, you get, how can I say this in a nice way? You get to a point where you just kind of go, I don't want to say you live in the moment, because that's not true, but I do live by my guides. And, you know, I've been through a lot with them. I totally trust my guides. And without that trust, I mean, I couldn't do what I do. So I always say, you know, when I'm in trouble or when things are looking bad, I always revert back to the basics. And the basics for me are pretty much going back to trusting what I see, hear, and feel. Does that make sense?
It does, and your cell phone's buzzing away. Am I right?
Yeah.
Now, that's happened. You see, karma, folks, because I get told off about typing, so now Craig has his cell phone buzzing.
be grateful I turned it down to just vibrate.
It's all right. I'm used to sound effects. You know, it's normally dogs barking or doorbells ringing, and now we've got cell phones buzzing. So,
or mom calling.
That's right. I am. Yes, my mom phoning. That's right. Yeah. So I've had my son phone. Two of my sons phoned me on Friday while I was on air. So can't really say anything about it, can I? So. Where were we?
I feel like a dog chasing my tail.
That's right. but I do think that we go through changes. And sometimes we don't always pick up on what exactly we're meant to be doing. Okay. This is a problem that I've been going through for a few years now, and I just can't seem to make my mind up. And some people might think it's just very clear cut, but this is thing about eating meat, being vegetarian, whether you should eat meat or not. And I like the taste of meat. I like the flavour. I know you can get protein and a lot of goodness from meat. And I go through phases where I can't eat it. And then I start to eat it again. And then I have this terrible guilt about the fact that I've eaten something that has lived. And what right have I got to buy something that somebody's killed for you to eat? And that life has just gone. And then other times I start eating it again. And then this is very hypocritical, because if it's processed and it's in a tin, then it's not the same as going to a butcher's or supermarket and buying something that actually looks like an animal. And that's very hypocritical. But I'm trying to work out why I'm like that. Now, am I supposed to go vegetarian? Is it what Spirit wants me to do, or is this just a thing that I've just got to sort out myself? I don't know. I mean, have you been through anything like that?
No, Alan, I pretty much like the old steak and baked potato.
I'm not actually saying I don't like it at all. I do, but it plays with my mind. It plays with my mind. So, past one day. At the moment, I'm eating meat irregularly, perhaps a couple of times a week. But I'm just as likely just to sit down with a plate full of vegetables and eat the meat. Now, what is it about the spiritual side? Because you talk to a lot of people, and there's a lot of vegetarians who are clairvoyant psychics, aren't they?
I don't know, Alan.
Well, I've met a lot of people, and it seems to be more in proportion to people not eating meat than eating it. So I currently just asked what made me think of being vegetarian. I think it's just the fact of the idea that an animal's got to die for me to eat it. I think that's the reason.
But you don't mind the plant had to be cut off, pulled out? I mean, plants got feelings too, Alan.
I suppose if you take it to an extreme, you never eat anything, you just die, wouldn't you? So, anyway, I thought I'd just share that one with you, and I'll probably come to an answer one day.
You got me speechless over here.
That's right. But so it, you've never had that thought whether you should actually eat meat or not. You're just a carnivore.
Have I ever had a thought about not eating meat?
Yeah. Is it something that you thought, is it something that I should stop eating meat?
Maybe in a past life or something, but not in this one.
Okay. Perhaps you got too hungry in the previous life, and this one you decided you're going to eat a lot. And you could taste the meat.
I mean, if you set a salad down in front of me and a T-bone, I mean, the T-bone's going to win every time.
Actually, what Pretty Peggy's just said, yeah. You see, I do think like that as well, right? At the end of the day, there's a lot of animals alive on this planet that wouldn't have a life if they hadn't been bred for the food chain. So they've got a life that they wouldn't have had. So then you can say, well, you're not actually doing anything wrong because you've given a life as long as they've had a good life and been looked after. And then they die so we can live. Then that's okay. So, well, because that's, I suppose, is a true enough, isn't it? Because there's a lot more animals on this planet now than there used to be hundreds and hundreds of years ago, because we farm them, don't we?
Well, not only that, but I was watching TV last night and they were showing about these wild boars that are taking over. I say, let's go out and get a boar.
Actually, everybody. there was a program on TV over here a few years ago, and it was about life in South America and the jungles and that. And there was some people, I don't know what they were, I can't remember what they was doing, they was camping on the side of the river, and they got like lookouts for the wild animals, and they had to race to the boats and go out into the middle of the Amazon because these wild boars, they basically hunted in packs, and they run at an incredible speed, and they just kill everything in their path. And they had to get out onto these boats and in the middle of the Amazon to keep away from these boars. So I suppose that's life in the raw, isn't it?
Okay. If you say so, Alan. I mean, I'm not into this whole vegetarian
conversation. Well, perhaps we're meant to talk about it simply because it is a kind of a spiritual problem for some people, and we're supposed to cover all subjects on it, and perhaps it's to get people to think about perhaps why they eat meat or why they don't eat meat or whether they should or not. I'm totally confused myself about it, so I'm not preaching to anybody that shouldn't eat meat. I'm just trying to get some kind of understanding. And that's a very fair point, what Karen's just said in the chat room. You know, how did people eat back in time? And maybe if we thought of it differently, because today isn't it as it was back in that day.
I think back in time they were grateful just to have something on their plate.
Well, that's true. I suppose when the push comes to the shove and you've got to eat, then it's about survival, isn't it? I think what it is today, we've got supermarkets and everything's packaged, and the reality of it goes out of the window because you pick it up and you pay your money and you walk out, and that's the end of it. Whereas, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, you used to have to go out there and kill it yourself, didn't you?
That is true. Hence deer jerky.
Sorry, say that again.
I said, hence, that's where deer jerky came from.
That's right. That's right. And I understand we've got about 2 minutes left of the show. So it went off in a direction that I wasn't expecting it to, but there we go, perhaps it was meant. But I want to thank you very, very much indeed, Craig, for... Because I wasn't going to be on the air at all today because of Brian Dragon being poorly, and so the Welsh Dragon's Den wasn't going to take place as well as Dragon's Den. But you stepped into the breach, Craig, and I always enjoy doing a show with you. And I wish Dragon a speedy recovery. And thank Dave Jones for getting us on the air.
And Para X for allowing us to be here.
Indeed, very much so. And everybody listening tomorrow to Craig Eugene, because you've got a really good show tomorrow, haven't you?
I have a good show all the time, but tomorrow's an exceptional show.
I did mean it that way, Craig.
I hear you, my friend.
So, is it time for us to say goodbye to everybody?
It is.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you to everybody out there listening to us. Also to everybody in the chat room. And I'll see you all on Friday. And Craig will see you all tomorrow.
So, thanks, Alan.
Bye for now. Thank you very much, Craig. Seriously.
Yep.
Cheers, mate. Bye.